The Bible reading this morning is taken from Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 25. And if you're wanting to follow it, but I expect you'll be looking at the pictures, it's on 1042 in the Church Bible. The parable of the Good Samaritan. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbour?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite. When he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, poured on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbour to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who has had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Would you like to be seated? As I said at the beginning, the Good Samaritan is probably one of the most well-known stories that Jesus told. And I guess you've heard it so many times, you could say it without reading it, couldn't you? So, let's see. We'll fill in the blanks, okay? Jesus said, a man was going down from
Jerusalem
to
Jericho
when he fell into the hands of
robbers.
They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him and half alive as well, yes. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he
walked by, I'll
include that. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he yes, he also passed by on the other side. Yeah, not so sure about that. But a as he travelled, came to where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on
oil.
You are absolutely right. I thought, that'll catch them out. Then he put the man on his own
donkey,
brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day, he took out and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will
reimburse you for any extra
expense that you may have." Yay, fantastic. You really do know the story quite well. The pictures were probably a little bit of a hint from time to time. Right. When I say upwards, will you point upwards? When I say outwards, will you point outwards? When I say me-centered, point at yourself. And when I say other-centred, point at somebody else, right? Do we just want a quick check on that? Upwards? Outwards? Me-centred? Other-centred. Okay, right, you've got the idea. Jesus is in conversation with experts in the law when one of them asks him, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" It's a typical me-centered question that we might well ask today, because we live in a me-centered culture. So it only seems natural for us to look out for number one. What must I do for me to be saved? Now, if you or I were asked that question by someone else, we would probably give a very individual-centered answer. We'd probably say, well, you're saved when you believe in Jesus and repent of your sins. It's an answer that says it's all about your upwards relationship with God. But Jesus wanted to take his questioner beyond the upwards relationship with God to the effect that that upwards relationship with God was going to have on his outward relationships with other people. Proof of your upwards love for God comes in the shape of your outwards relationship to other people. 18 months ago at St. Mary's, I don't know if people have memories that go back 18 months. They obviously don't go back 30 years, as we proved earlier, but maybe 18 months. We had a series called Living Life in Four Dimensions, when we were talking about living upwards towards God in love and worship, outwards serving others, inwards loving one another, and, I don't know, onwards or something. Superman, onwards, yes. Onwards, living for God 24/7. Now, this expert in the law was okay with the upwards bit, but he was rather lacking in the outwards. So Jesus doesn't actually answer his question. But instead, he turns the question around on the questioner. He says, well, you're the expert in the law. What does it say there? And the expert rolls off what really was an off-pat answer. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself. Love the Lord your God is a summary of the first four of the Ten Commandments, and love your neighbour is a summary of the last six. But it's formulaic. It just trips off his tongue, much like we might say, fine, when somebody says, how are you? You know, it just trips off without us thinking about it. Love the Lord is about your upwards relationship. Love your neighbour is about your outwards relationships. The expert thinks that he can wriggle out of the challenge to his rather limited outwards lifestyle by holding a very narrow definition of who his neighbour is. Ah, but, he says, who is my neighbour? Rather than reaching outwards as far as he could, he wanted to just reach out a tiny, tiny little bit by defining neighbour in a very narrow way. And that's when Jesus tells the story. It's a very other-centred story. Other, come on. Very other-centred story in response to a very me-centred question. It's a story that shows the measure of our upwards love for God, which is shown by the measure of our outwards love for others. Many modern readings of the story focus on our identifying with the Samaritan. Jesus is teaching us to be good Samaritans to those who are in any kind of need. And that's probably what Jesus meant at the end when he said, go and do likewise. Perhaps we find it easy to identify with the Samaritan because it's easier to imagine us giving help than receiving it. We're in control when we give it. We're not in control when we receive it. But the logic of the story forces the expert in the law not to identify himself with the Samaritan, but with the victim, the one receiving help. It'd be a bit like asking Jeremy Hunt this week, would you like an junior doctor to treat you in A&E, or would you prefer to go to a private hospital? The expert in the law asks the question, who is my neighbour? And he eventually gives his own answer at the end of the story when Jesus asks him which of these was a neighbour to the man who fell in the hands of the robbers, i.e., who is the man who was robbed neighbour? That's you. So he answers his own question, who is my neighbour, with the answer, well, the Samaritan is my neighbour, the one who had mercy on him. He identifies himself with the victim, not the helper. Jesus, in effect, tells him that not just that he must be neighbourly towards his enemy, but that he must accept help from his enemy. Reaching outwards and loving your neighbour involves receiving from them as well as giving to them. It involves engaging in community with them. Neighbours and neighbourliness creates a neighbourhood. Not just providing aid, but also receiving. So, I don't know, for example, we might feel that we are called not just to send aid to Syrian refugees, but actually embrace receiving from those whom we might attach the label immigrants, receive from them as doctors or nurses in our communities, as cleaners or teachers or colleagues or neighbours. To see past the label that we put on people to the person beyond. So the expert's me-centred question is answered by Jesus' other-centred story. Loving God upwards involves being part of an other-centred community that reaches outwards to others. It's a community that knows no bounds of race or culture, as we were singing in that song. How did the words go? And the race and the creed. And thank you. And that's the kind of community that church is called to model. We're not just a social club of like-minded people, but a diverse community of the unlikeliest of partners, giving and receiving love to and from one another. An other-centred community that we are not in for what we get out of it, but what we can give into it. And that's the way we express our upwards love for God with all our heart, soul, mind and strength. In the second part of our service today, we're going to be starting the Paraclesis course, which I've been talking about for a few weeks now. And in that course, we explore how this community called the church is called to be other-centred in caring for one another, to care particularly for those whose journey through life is bruising, like the man in the story, to care equally for those who are unlike us as those who are like us, and to journey through life together, supporting one another as we go. So who is your neighbour? How can you express your upwards love for God by outwards love to them? Twice a day, Channel 5 proclaims this. True? Let's pray together.